Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now
on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
WMAL. It's 6:06. So Connor and Company this Monday morning. Thanks for being here. Great way to start your week. I know we're enjoying it. Coming up a little later in the prep. By we, I mean Julie Gunlock and I. I don't want people to think I got a mouse in my pocket. If your mom ever used to say that, you'd say we. But you got a mouse in your pocket? I never knew what that meant.
Oh, no.
Kind of weird.
No.
Why would you have a mouse in your pocket?
My mom respected all pronouns.
Ooh, speaking of pronoun respect, did you see the Finnish transgender ice skater?
I couldn't get enough of it.
Oh.
I must have watched that video 50 times.
To say about that. And by the way, I am now announcing my bid to be an Olympic ice skater, figure skater, in the next upcoming Winter Olympics. That's always been my dream, and I want special accommodation. 6:35, Asra Nomani on a local library spending tens of thousands on Hannah Jones to speak and tell you how horrible you are because of your skin color. 7:05, Joe DiGenova will join us. 8:05, Representative Mike Waltz, new chair of the Armed Services Committee. And then at 8:35, Rob O'Donnell. Our friend and former NYPD detective, he's a law enforcement expert, and he'll give every time we have an officer-related death, shooting, what have you, I love to get Rob's expert opinion. He is an expert on these things, literally, and his opinion of the video showing those five cops in Memphis beating up Tyree Nichols is incredibly important for you to hear. So we'll get to that a little later in the program. We told you this moment was coming. We told you that when things started to get hot and heavy between Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis, it was going to be challenging for all of us because it's like you have to take sides. Are you with Trump or DeSantis? I'm with the Republican who defeats whoever the Democrats throw out there.
Amen.
Okay, that's who we always will be with. And during the primary process, we want every candidate to come on this program, and we will challenge each and every one of them with questions that we think you would want them to be asked, because that's what we feel our position is here. But let's face it, 2024 right now looks like a showdown between Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump.
Yep.
And our attempt at analyzing this and discussing that this for the last 6 months has been from the perspective of how can we have this discussion and debate and primary season and still unite behind whoever is left standing. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, if you look at how Donald Trump ran in 2016, it was a challenge. Let's face it, a whole lot of Republicans never unified behind Donald Trump. Now, thankfully, everyone's hatred of Hillary Clinton was the greatest unifying factor you'll ever see. But it got ugly, and it got ugly in many respects because of some of Donald Trump's tactics. I know, he only punches back. Well, he's punching back against Ron DeSantis, and you'll have to forgive me. Maybe you can send me the links to the comments that Ron DeSantis has made against Donald Trump, but I don't see this as a punching back.
No. This is definitely...
He's going on the offensive.
He is going on the offensive, and it's just so exhausting because...
I'll lay it out for you. First, he took to Truth Social, his social media platform, and said, "The Club for No Growth is a globalist group that I've been taking to the cleaners for years. We worked together for a period, but they couldn't get away from China, Europe, Asia, and parts unknown. They know I won't play that game. I am America first all the way. That's the only way we will make America great again. Ron DeSanctimonious, who I made governor in both the primary and the general, is also a globalist, and so are his donors. Jeb Low Energy Bush was next to him last week. Check past."
What?
Check past. I guess check his past.
You know.
Check out his past.
This is
so he says Ron DeSantis is a globalist.
I mean, the childish name calling is really irritating. And I don't think that Ron DeSantis has responded.
No, Ron DeSantis hasn't responded, and he hasn't said anything to bring. I don't know what brought this on other than the fact, yes, Jeb Bush was at an event. What was the event? It was the inauguration.
You know, we love
and he's
it.
A former governor.
We love it when Donald Trump responds this way to Hillary or, you know, to any of these elitists on the left. But it is it becomes very uncomfortable when before – you know, we're even in the presidential primary season when he's starting to take jabs. Well, maybe we are, but when he's starting to take jabs like this at...
It's how he takes the jab, because here's the thing. It's like, I understand you're trying to separate yourself from Ron DeSantis, and you're trying to say, this is why I'm the better choice of Ron DeSantis. But instead of saying why I'm the better choice,
right,
you're basically saying Ron DeSantis is part of the problem. And by any objective measure over the last several years as governor of Florida, especially after his stunning, overwhelming reelection in a year last year when many Republicans didn't do nearly as well as he did in his state in getting reelected as governor, it's hard to see that Ron DeSantis is part of the problem for that. Again, yeah. You might be better. That's different than saying, no, DeSantis is the problem.
Well, but also there's something in this tweet that really bothers me more than anything. And that's when he says, who I made governor.
Yeah.
Okay. So he takes credit for Ron DeSantis' winning Florida by a massive margin.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's, first of all, that's just not true. And there's something about him assuming this sort of kingmaker role.
Yeah.
He wants it both ways. He wants to be a kingmaker, but then he wants to run again. And go ahead.
Well, and tear down.
And tear down anyone who challenges him.
Well, and you just point out, I mean, so if I had President Trump, who I like, and who I like interviewing, and who I like having on the show, and again, if he's the nominee, I will vote for him. I can't imagine not. I would say, explain this to me. Ron DeSantis is a globalist. You want us to look into his past to validate that he is a globalist and therefore should not be trusted with our vote. And yet at the same time, you say you made him governor. Why would you make a globalist the governor? Did you not check into his past? Did you not know his past? I'm sure you did, because you're a very thorough man.
Do you have some judgment problems?
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, talk about having it both ways. It's like, he would be nothing without me. Also, he should be nothing.
Also, you know, the thing that Americans love the most about our founding father, George Washington, is that they offered him, they said, would you like to be king? And he turned it down. There's this humility about George Washington that does attract Americans. And I know, you know, I'm not breaking news here, but, you know, Trump's lack of humility can grate after a while, when he starts taking pot shots like this.
Well, again, it's you said it. It's great when he does this against the people we don't like. But when he does it against the people we like, you know, it's a problem. And honestly, it's whoever's in his way is going to get it. We knew that. And that's the question. How can he run as – he wants to run as an incumbent. How do you run as an incumbent and not keep the party together, right? So here he is. By the way, he was asked specifically about Ron DeSantis running against him in 2024.
So Ron would have not been governor if it wasn't for me, and that's okay. He wouldn't have gotten the nomination. And number two, he wouldn't have beaten his Democrat opponent. So then when I hear he might run, you know, I consider that very disloyal, but it's not about loyalty. But to me, it is. It's always about loyalty. But for a lot of people, it's not about loyalty.
So you can hear he's on a plane there, but he says if he does run, it'll be incredibly disloyal. Here's the weird thing. Nikki Haley is making a lot of noise that she's probably going to start her, I would say, within the next 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Nikki Haley will be official. In one capacity or another, either as an official run for president or an exploratory committee, which is basically the last step you take before you make it official. He said that he spoke with Nikki Haley and he encouraged her strongly. Hey, you should run. You should go ahead and do it. Why that's not disloyal, I don't know, other than the fact that maybe he thinks, you know, Nikki Haley doesn't have a chance and Ron DeSantis does.
I think you're right. I think he really does smell competition when it comes to DeSantis, which he does not feel about Nikki Haley, which I would agree with. But there's also this idea that sometimes people run for president so that they get picked for vice president.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what he sees from Nikki, possibly. But he really sees a challenge with DeSantis.
DeSantis has said nothing.
He's very smart.
He has said nothing in response. He hasn't said anything in response to the first Ron DeSanctimonious thing that came out back before the midterm elections in November.
There's a lot of folks who are thinking about running. Our own Governor Youngkin is thinking about running as well, but people are keeping it really quiet. And I think part of the reason is to avoid these silly arguments with Donald Trump.
Here's what he said to Nikki Haley, by the way, saying that she should do it. I talked to her a little while. I said, look, you know, go by your heart if you want to run. She's publicly said that I would never run against my president. He was a great president. She's also said that it's time for a new generation of leaders. In other words, you know, yeah, I love Trump. He's just way too old. So, all right. Well, there you go. That's the latest between Trump and DeSantis. I guess pick sides if you need to pick sides. We're not picking sides.
No.
Other than the fact that we want this thing to transpire in such a way where there's a Republican Party standing, not just for the 2024 election, but all of these great Republicans who will make great candidates in the future. You know, let's not rip them down as globalist, you know, pariahs. Try to bolster yourself and about why you're better, not why this person's disqualified. Because you know what? Maybe you might like Trump right now, and then maybe you'd like DeSantis in 2028. Ripping him as a globalist shill for the maniacal, you know, Davos crowd is no way to prepare him for 2028. It's 6:16. Let's
join Vince Colonnais February 7th for the all-new Steak of the Union at Bourbon Boulevard in Chantilly. Details at WMAL.com/steak.
Does this spark joy? Then get rid of it. That was Meredith, and I still use that. Does it spark joy? I don't know. This shirt, I got too much clothes. I got to get rid of this. Well, does that shirt spark joy? This is the Marie Kondo organization system. Did you fall into this trap?
I did not. No. Yeah. I can't. I have three boys. Like, I have three kids. I am naturally sort of a weird. I like get very nervous if my house isn't ordered.
Uh-huh.
But that was way too much. That was too much. There's nothing wrong with a few things on your kitchen counter. I mean,
right.
This idea that everything has to be, you know, decluttered. To the point that nothing is on a surface.
There's a place for everything, and everything's in its place.
Yeah, that's not going to work for me. But
well, funny you should say that. You know, you could never get into the Marie Kondo thing because you live a real life. You have three kids. Well, here's Marie Kondo now coming out and saying, yeah, I've kind of given up on the whole...
Beautiful.
the whole keeping my house tidy thing. What changed in Marie Kondo's life? She has three kids.
I love it. I love it.
So there's not going to be any Marie Kondo talking to Marie Kondo in her life about...
Hold each item and choose item that spark joy for you.
Spark joy.
Sparks joy. It has to spark joy. See, that's how it works. Here's... This was from we watched all the shows on Netflix. Oh, was this a pandemic thing? I'm trying to put the timeline together. I feel like this
was
pre-pandemic, wasn't it?
I thought it was maybe. I don't know. But I feel like she went kind of... viral, crazy viral during the pandemic.
It exploded.
I feel like this is very... we're going to play the clip.
Yes.
Do you have what she was going to say? Yeah.
Here. With him working more, I'm home with the kids more. And it's freaking chaos. My kids are just like running around and being crazy. And we never get anything done. So I think to myself, what's an easy resolution? If we don't have enough time, then maybe we could pay somebody to do these things, and that way we have more time.
It's because we're perfectly capable of doing those things.
Okay, time out. I'm not saying that we're not capable. I'm just saying the reason that this came up more and more was because, babe, we don't have the time to do these. Like, that's where it came.
We're different.
And in came Marie Kondo to solve the whole thing. By the way, just so you know, there was something about her tone just now.
Oh.
When she said, babe, it was like... Yeah, okay, yes.
Yeah, dear. You get it. But, you know, honestly, I think there is something very aspirational about, like, wanting to declutter and have a place for everything. I mean, yes, I get that. It's also just a recipe for feeling bad about yourself all the time, you know. And this happens to me when the house gets sort of cluttered, where things are... I mean, you know, the number of papers my kids bring home from school, mm-hmm. okay? The number of things they... I still, in my basement, I was looking at this weekend... I have a model of the Colosseum that my son built in like third grade. Okay. And I cannot throw that away. Now, that's insane. This is not, it doesn't spark joy. Okay.
Yeah.
But I feel some sentimental attachment to it. So,
right. Well, then it does spark joy.
Well, it sparks something. It really annoys.
Can I tell you what happened?
I don't really want
we were
it.
Going through all of our clothes, and Meredith was like looking over me, you know, saying, you know, everything, you have to hold it up.
Yeah.
Does that spark joy? Does that spark joy? So I put some things in my, you know, okay, doesn't spark joy pile. And she goes through and she takes a couple of my shirts. It's like, wait a minute, I thought we were decluttering. I thought we were getting rid of things.
They make perfect sleep shirts.
Exactly.
Yes.
So she's got this great, I had this, when Bruce Allen, the former president of the Redskins, came out to one of our live remotes one time. It was when RG3 was the quarterback. 10 years ago, listeners were there, and he brought us T-shirts that said "Beat Dallas," you know, "Hail to the Redskins," because it was right before the Cowboys game.
Yeah,
and it's great. But I have a lot of Redskins shirts.
Yeah,
so I put that in my. Well, this doesn't spark joy for me right now because you know they changed the name and all that stuff. Even though I got tons of Redskins shirts, and I just decided, okay, this one's going to go in the. And she stole it.
Yes, but this is the
thing. She kept it.
Yeah. Well, now it's still in the house somewhere. But this is
it's my shirt.
I know. Well, you can take it back. This is the thing is there are a range of emotions. It's not just joy, right? Like that I was talking about that Coliseum. I mean, it annoys me, frankly. It only sparks annoyance. Okay. But there is a sentimental I have a sentimental attachment. It does. I get mad every time because it's on the shelf. It's not exactly home decor, right? So what's it doing down there? But it's because I remember him building it with the popsicle sticks. And we made a balloon and paper mache and anyway. It was a sweet time.
Very sweet. Yeah. So you want to keep it.
But you can't, not according to these rules.
Right.
Right?
Right. Because it has to spark joy. And if it doesn't spark joy, just throw it away and you'll never miss it.
There's a lot of other emotions, right? That feed or that are the reasons why I keep things around.
So this woman comes along, Marie Kondo, and gets her big Netflix contract and writes all of her books and she makes all of her money. And she
can I just say, with all these contracts, then she gets a really big house
Where
you can stuff your crap, okay, and sort of out of sight. You have lots of storage areas in big houses, lots of closets.
Right. And she forces everybody.
Hold each item and choose item that spark joy for you.
Yeah.
Spark joy.
Only pick the things that spark joy for you. And she wants us all living in like some Zen garden.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, where there's nothing there at all. Yeah. And meanwhile, she just told the Washington Post, my home is messy. She says, mother of three kids now. Yeah, no, but I'm a mom. I have three kids. My home is messy, but the way I'm spending my time is the right way for me at this time, at this stage of my life. Where were you five years ago when I was throwing everything out because of
these,
you,
also,
lady?
All these like workout and nutrition people like Gwyneth Paltrow, you know she is sitting with a bag of Lay's potato chips on the couch. She claims, she only eats organic.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
And only eats healthy things. No.
I just want you to know that Marie Kondo now has a messy house, and that sparks joy in me.
Yes, me too.
It's 6:24.
Now
on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
It is 6:36. Thanks for listening in here to O'Connor and Company on a Monday morning in the nation's capital. Coming up at 7:05, it's Monday. That means it's Joe time. Joe DiGenovo will join us at 8:05. Representative Mike Waltz, he's now the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee. Find out what he thinks of those tanks going to Ukraine. And also this idea that, did you see this? An Air Force general said we'll be at war with China by 2025.
Yeah.
We'll find out if Michael Waltz concurs. And maybe we should do something about that. At 8:35, Rob O'Donnell's going to join us, give us his expert reaction to the Tyre Nichols incident. That's all coming up, Julie Gunlock. Right now, though, we are joined by Asra Nomani, with yet another story coming out of Fairfax County. Every time you show up here, Asra, things happen. So,
well, Larry, you got to pull out your checkbook and write a check as a taxpayer of Fairfax County every time I show up because there's another bill we got to pay out
I
there.
See this. Yeah, so this time it's Hannah Jones. I mean, they've already spent a ton of money on Ibram X. Kendi, I know, through the school system.
Right. Yep.
Now the Fairfax County Public Library System apparently has enough money lying around to give $35,000 to Hannah Jones. She's the person who dreamed up the lie that is the 1619 Project. And this is for what, an hour? $35,000 for an hour. That's not bad.
Oh, yeah. It's a 1 hour weekend of President's Day weekend, February 19th at the McLean Community Center. And love my math, so I did the calculation. It's $35,350 for this one-hour lecture. Racks up to $589 per minute.
Gosh, you gotta really respect the grift, Asra. I mean, my goodness, I am doing things wrong. You know, it just is amazing to me, Asra, after everything that's been uncovered, much of it because of your reporting, they are doubling down. They're not listening to parents. They're not listening to this community that just wants these schools to get back to normal and teach kids the basics. They continue to double down on this CRT and just critical theory in general, whether it's gender or race. Why is that? Is this just some sort of stubbornness on their part, or are they trying to poke people?
Oh, it's a strategy. And so this is what we're going to be reporting on next is I was able to write this one for the Fairfax County Times and just want to give a shout out to them. Everybody get their subscription if you can, because this is where local journalism matters, just like at WMAL. We can't hear these voices unless we actually have places that we can report our work, right? And there we are going to now explore this question of how and why. So some years ago, Fairfax County Board of Supervisors approved a new policy called One Fairfax. And that is a trickle down now of these kind of so-called equity policies that we have happening with, that are causing taxpayer money to be spent like this. And guess what, Julie and Larry? Where do you think that the One Fairfax idea came from?
I'm thinking George Soros.
You know, you are really on the money right there, exactly. It was consultants, the old 501c3 organizations. Where are they based? The ones that Fairfax County hired? California. And so these California consultants came in, gave Fairfax County a cookie cutter, little blueprint called One Fairfax. And you know, around it's a jingle. So all around the country, there's this, one that, and it's all the same blueprint. And that's been, Julia, to your question, what is happening here? It's been years now of these policies, and they're going to impact everything in the county, from housing. We've seen it in schooling, property, just every which way that money is spent, we're going to keep seeing it, just like with the Library Association here.
So here's what's going to be said. This is in celebration of Black History Month at the Fairfax Public Library. It's to invite Nicole Hannah-Jones, who's going to discuss 1619 Project and its reception. She's going to do 45 minutes of a speech and then 15 minutes of Q&A. And yeah, she's going to make $35,000. And there will be members of the African-American community in Fairfax County saying, listen, these are our tax dollars too. It's Black History Month. This is what we would like to see done with our tax dollars. So leave us alone. Why can't we do this? What's your problem with it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's going to be – I went to the event with Ibram Kendi, and I got to say, it was at Reston Community Center, another big bill that was paid, and it was a mostly white audience. I mean, I don't know that there were many residents there.
So it's a bunch of white liberals.
Yes.
It's a bunch of white liberals celebrating Black History Month by bringing in the person who writes for the New York Times and now is a professor. I think she's at Howard, isn't she?
Nicole
Hannah-Jones.
Right. She's a professor. Ibram X. Kendi has a big gig at Boston University. And ultimately, what was the cost of all of this? The Library Association, Fairfax County Public Library, cut hours last year because they don't have enough staffing hours resources to man the hours, to woman the hours. and took a little bit of digging, but guess what? The starting salary of a librarian in Fairfax County Public Schools equals that 1 hour.
Unbelievable. Oscar, she called you out. She's not happy. Well, it's, I got to tell you, if Astra Nomani was poking around Julie Gunlock's world, I'd be nervous too. So she doesn't like that you're poking around, and she kind of called you out, and because you get speaker fees if you give a speech. Many, many people do. What's your response to her?
Oh, it was just so interesting. It was so telling to see how Nicole Hannah-Jones operates.
Yeah.
It took days to find her contract. It took days of reporting. We had an intrepid citizen out there who started asking the questions of Fairfax County Library. And Mr. Denk, he's a great citizen out there who asked these questions, but it took several days of digging. So how does Nicole Hannah-Jones respond? She literally does a Google search of what I supposedly charge for speaker fees.
Right.
Put a screenshot up of a fake Speakers Bureau.
No.
Fake Speakers Fees. Yeah, it's fake. It's all fake what she posted.
Beautiful.
Well, that's okay. I mean, that's sort of her milieu, isn't it? Because 1619 Project was full of lies. So,
yes.
I mean, this is her medium.
Yeah, Larry, I just saw how, as a, quote, journalist, she operates then, because I thought, oh, wow, this took me days to get her contract. And in 2 minutes, she can just put forward fake facts about me.
Yeah.
And boy, did she double down. Exactly. She called me shameless and all of this. But truth is the ultimate defense, isn't it?
It sure is. So listen, that's what the journalism students at Howard University are learning from Nicole Hannah-Jones. And by the way, this is where your tax dollars are going, Fairfax County. When you see the next budget cuts over there in your library system and all the crying poverty, you'll know that they spent $35,000 for literally 1 hour of Nicole Hannah-Jones. Asra Nomani, great work as always. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you. Can't wait for our next dispatch.
Yeah, and she's right, by the way. I do want to give some kudos to the Fairfax County Times.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you were only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now. Wherever you listen.
For printing her report here on Astra Nomani's byline. Good for them. Now, Julie, I've created this sort of reflex reaction whenever I hear about an officer-involved shooting or an officer-involved incident that ends up with a suspect's death, where my gut reaction is to side with law enforcement.
Oh,
there's
got
to be more to this story, right? And oftentimes when the video comes out or when more of the story comes out, and it's like, oh, well, yeah, see. I mean, we saw that happen in D.C. here about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, my reaction is similar, although I just wait. Because
I generally...
And I know you do, too. We don't comment on a lot of these things because people comment way before the details are known.
That's right.
So that's sort of my knee jerk.
And my initial suspicion out of Memphis with the Tyree Nichols case was exactly that. But then almost immediately... the five officers involved in the beating death of the suspect were fired by the Memphis Police Department. And that's not always an indication either. It's like, okay, so the cops are acting politically, you know, let's see. And then all five cops were black. And it's like, well, okay, so how is this a big race thing? And we told you, we talked about this on Thursday and Friday, where the where we had fencing. MPD in D.C. was putting fencing up down by the mall around the Capitol in preparation for potential violent outbursts.
A lot of cities in the U.S. were.
A lot of cities, yes. Because they got a heads up from Memphis saying this video is coming out and it's going to cause an emotional reaction. And it did. Friday afternoon, late Friday afternoon, the video came out and it showed Tyree Nichols beaten to death by these five black officers who have been fired and are now arrested and under suspicion, or under they're being going to be tried for this homicide. When you look at it, it's like, even when you look at the Rodney King video, there is, you know, we're going all the way back, right?
right.
to the 90s. Like the Rodney King video, you could sort of see, even though people believe that the cops overdid it in terms of beating up Rodney King. No, Rodney King kept getting up and lunging at them, even though he wasn't tased and he was, you know, all doped up. And he kept, it's like, just stay down, for God's sake, right? And certainly the jury at the time in Simi Valley agreed out in Los Angeles, this is nothing like that. This is a guy who is docile. He's been arrested. He's been handcuffed, and they just beat this guy to death.
Well, and he got up, and he got up and ran away. And I mean, you can tell it's from. He keeps trying to reason with him too. I couldn't watch the entire thing, but I watched where he said, "Hey, you guys are doing a lot here. Hey. You know what? I'm down." He kept trying
and
to reason with him.
Personal.
Oh, it really
looked
did.
Like they were these cops.
But the really horrible part, and this is the part that I could not watch, is he ended up yelling out for his mother, whose house was only 100 yards away
right.
from where he was ultimately killed. The other thing is, that was so disturbing, though, is that there is video of him dying and not being given any care.
Yeah.
He was slumped against a police cruiser, and no one was in any way rendering aid to him.
It makes the George Floyd video look mild, frankly, in comparison. And so, of course, all of the usual suspects are saying this is an example of white supremacy.
Right.
And this is an example of systemic racism.
And then forgive me for stopping and saying,
wait, these are five black officers.
But also the making fun of people. If you think that this doesn't have anything to do with white supremacy, I've got.
Right. You're ignorant.
You're an idiot.
Stupid.
You don't understand white supremacy.
Van Jones penned this piece, this brilliant headline. You got to have an advanced degree of some kind to make this. Make this a wise observation. The police who killed Tyre Nichols were black, but they might still have been driven by racism. So we finally we were told that black people couldn't be racist, right? We've been told that all the time. Like Ibram X. Kendi and critical race theory is like, wait, that's racism.
Right.
Critical race theory it fits all of the definitions of racism. And we're told, well, no, black people can't be racist because they're oppressed.
Right.
So it's impossible for black people to be racist.
Oppressed classes cannot be
racist. Exactly.
Yes.
But now we have finally found the black racists. They're racist if they're cops.
Then they can be racist. People twist themselves into pretzels this weekend, trying to fit the narrative that has been the narrative for several years now, was amusing, except that it was also incredibly frustrating,
of course,
to see them get away with it.
Every conversation about race in this country is frustrating when you're dealing with the left, because it's heads I win, tails you lose. Van Jones tells me that this is an example of racism, that these five black cops killed this black person. It's a result of horrible policing. It's a result. It could be the result of something incredibly nefarious. It could be a homicide, a criminal homicide. It sure looks like it. And certainly abuse of power and all those things that go along with it. How it's racism, I don't know. But I would just ask Van Jones one follow-up question, which, by the way, is something that the editor of this piece at CNN should have asked. Hey, Van, if the victim here was white, would that still be racism? It's 6:54. Coming up, as we mentioned, Joe DiGenova is going to join us. Latest coming out of the House investigations, and we'll get Joe's take on the apparent abuse of power by these five cops in Memphis and how this might transpire. Plus, we're going to hear from our friend Kurt Schlichter. He was there as the vote went down in Dana Point, California. Ronna McDaniel wins an unprecedented fourth term as chair of the Republican National Committee. Plus, we know what the Super Bowl is going to be. And are you ready to go to Hell's Kitchen? Here in D.C., Gordon Ramsay was in town. We'll tell you all about it.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.